The word of the Lord from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear hearers in Christ, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I am the vine. You are the branches. Simple brush strokes can make for beautiful art, and this is such a great, deft picture that our Lord draws. It's one that pretty much everyone understands right away, and one that answers a lot of important basic questions. Anyone knows from the earliest of ages that if you see a juicy grape hanging from a branch, that branch is attached to a vine. If the branch is just lying on the ground unattached, it's not going to bear any fruit. It's getting no water, it's getting no nourishment, and so its days of bearing fruit are done. It can do nothing. All that a dry twig is good for is some tinder for your next bonfire. On the other hand, if the branch is attached to the vine, it's going to bear fruit. It's automatic. That's just what nourished branches do. If they're not bearing fruit, there's something wrong with them. I'm not much of a gardener aside from doing battle with our raspberries a few times a year, but I would imagine that a branch that fails to bear fruit is one that isn't receiving enough nourishment to do so, which means it likely doesn't have enough food to support itself. I know that every now and then I come across one that looks all right outside but is hardened and wooden and barely alive within. If such branches continue to be fruitless, they're cut away. Once they're cut away, they'll wither as well until they're only good for the tinder pile. If they are bearing fruit, the gardener prunes them because he wants those branches to be the best, most productive branches they can possibly be. You don't want anemic branches that have one or two little grapes hanging on the end. You want robust branches that do what they were made to do. "I am the vine, you are the branches," says Jesus to his disciples. So let's start with this good news. You are already branches. You are already joined to Christ because he has joined you to himself, grafted you into him through the waters of holy baptism. He already nourishes you with his word and his supper. In other words, you're already saved by grace alone. Think of it this way. You're either saved by grace or by your works. You're either saved by being joined to the vine or by the fruit that you produce. If you're going to be saved by the fruit that you produce, well, imagine. Imagine a gardener finding a dry, withered twig on the ground and saying to it, "All you need to do to avoid the bonfire is to bear a grape or two, though more would be better. If you can manage to bear some grapes, then I'll graft you into the vine and you will live." As ridiculous as it is to expect a dead twig to come to life and even produce fruit on its own, It is even more ridiculous to expect people who are dead in sin to enliven themselves and produce enough good fruits so that God will then join them to Christ. If you follow that metaphor further, you arrive at this. If you can, in fact, enliven yourself and produce fruit on your own before you are joined to Christ, then why be joined to Christ at all? So we end up in a world full of sinners saying, I don't need Jesus because I'm basically a good person doing good things. They have a really bad doctrine of salvation for sure, but it doesn't start there. It starts with a bad doctrine of original sin and the idea that we have enough good, enough holiness within us to start to save ourselves on our own. But the Bible is clear that we are born dead in sin, unable to do anything to save ourselves. Dead branches can't do anything to make themselves live. And that's why it's such a joy that Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. By his cross and by his work, he has joined you to himself, grafted you in, given you life. He does you the favor of doubling down on this in the text, so that you don't think the preacher is making too much of you are the branches. Because he also says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Already you are clean because the Lord has cleansed you by his word. Already you are alive because the Lord has spoken to give you life. When it comes to being forgiven, being alive, and having salvation, you have enough already because you have Christ. Well, if you are alive in Christ, then what do? You bear fruit. You do good works. You do that as surely as branches join to the vine, because that's just what living branches do. So let's talk about fruit. Let's talk about good works. On the one hand, there are those good works that you do and don't even realize. It's not because you're that good at doing them. It's because Jesus is that good at cleansing you. I've compared these to refrigerator art before. Children of a certain age are known for creating lots of crayon drawings that are colorful, vibrant, very abstract, and nowhere near artistic. Think of a picture that has a lopsided smiley face with unbalanced eyes, two legs growing out of the chin, arms coming out where the ears should be, and at the bottom is the word, Dad. If, say, a young child I don't know were to walk up to me and hand me that picture, I would probably accept it to be polite, even while I was looking around to see if Dad was somewhere nearby, and maybe if he resembled the picture. On the other hand, if my own toddler handed me the same drawing by his own hand, it is obviously a masterpiece, a sure sign of genius that goes up on the refrigerator. Why the difference? Because this one is my kid, and I overlook all the shortcomings, and I see only the good. And these are the works that you don't know that you're doing. They're not sins, they're just daily activities. And Jesus is so faithful in cleansing you of sin that the Father overlooks all of your shortcomings because there are none left to be seen. So, as I delight in being a misshapen pie face with arms and legs if it's my kid who drew it, so the Father delights in what you do because you're his child for the sake of his Son. So God be praised that you're already bearing fruit before you know it. Beware, though, because Satan will tempt you to say, I guess I need not worry about doing more good works because I'm doing enough already. If only it were so easy to be doing good works just because that's what you do, or because you're always just joyful and energetic and ready to do more. But you're not. Why? Because that old sinful nature still clings, and so you're always tempted to be doing bad works. This is why it is so important that we confess sins of both commission and omission, what we've done wrong and what we've failed to do. If your neighbor is in need, faith wants to help. It wants to bear such fruit because you are a branch enlivened by Christ the vine, and that's what branches do. Your old Adam, however, does not want to help your neighbor. And so you start to come up with excuses like you're tired or you're busy or it would really benefit him to work hard and help himself. It's not like a sin of commission that you're punching him in the face when he's down, but it is a sin of omission that you're failing to help him. In Jesus' metaphor, you're not just a branch that's not bearing fruit, but a branch that's working hard not to bear fruit. If you're working hard not to bear fruit, you'll find it easier and easier to do so, and you'll care less and less for God's grace in Christ that gives you life because it also leads to that fruit bearing. Without that grace, your refrigerator aren't good works. They aren't cleansed anymore either. And so they're not good, and you're a branch without fruit. And what happens to a branch that doesn't bear fruit? The Father, the vine dresser, takes it away. Remember, dead branches didn't start out that way. They didn't just show up on the ground. They were once live branches that have since died. If you're not doing good works, you're doing bad works. Thanks to sin, if you're not working at keeping the commandments, you're breaking them. So if you're not bearing fruit, you're resisting the life that Jesus gives, and you can harden your heart until you fall from the faith. So when you're tempted to believe that being a Christian means not doing anything too terrible, you say, enough already. I'm not a Christian because I haven't fallen below the minimum level of grape production. I'm a Christian because Christ has joined me to himself, and I want to stay joined to him. Therefore, I want to get rid of anything that would start to cut off his grace and his life for me. That's another way of looking at that life of daily repentance. If you have a live branch, it's going to bear fruit unless it dies. And so a gardener will work to protect it against bugs or disease or whatever else would keep it from living. He's not causing the fruit to grow, but he is preventing what would stop the fruit from growing. Likewise, you confess your sin not to make your works good, but to prevent losing the life that Christ has given you. As long as you're enlivened by him, you'll be bearing fruit. And as long as you're enlivened by him, the last part of our gospel reading is true when Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's a verse that old Adam loves to twist to make it sound like you can use Jesus like a genie with an infinite wishes. So let's put it into the vine branch language. If you remain a branch attached to Jesus, then you are fed by him and you're bearing fruit. It is his life in you because it is his word in you. When that is the case, the Lord will do whatever you wish because you will only wish what he wills. Your old Adam will consider this to be a total ripoff, but consider. Given all your sins and bad decisions and garbage moves over the years, wouldn't it be a huge blessing to have the mind of Christ, to only wish what he wills? So let this be your primary good work. As a branch grafted into the vine, work at staying that way. Repent daily of your sins and daily study the scriptures so that his word abides in you. Teach them to your children. Meditate upon them as you fall asleep at night. It's not good for branches to be nourished once a week, and I don't know of any vine in nature that works that way. You're not a potted plant that the Lord waters occasionally when he remembers. You're much closer than that, for he has joined you to himself. That's why you return to this. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Your life and salvation are certain because he gives you life and salvation as surely as a vine gives life to branches. And he gives you life and salvation because he shed his blood in your place for your sin, and now he is risen again. treasure that union, that joinedness above all things. Repent of your sins that seek to break you away. Give thanks that the Lord still prunes to strengthen your faith all the more. Live each day bearing good fruit, both intentional and unintentional, and live in joy and hope. For if the vine lives forever, his branches do too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.